Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to conclude the study that we've been doing, or the series of studies on the great doctrines of the Bible. And for today's discussion, we're going to look at the Bible, the Holy Bible. And when I say the Holy Bible, the Scriptures, the words of God, I mean none other than the AV 1611 King James Bible. You see, my dear friends, the King James Bible is where God has preserved His inspired, infallible, and inerrant words. In fact, we'll talk about the preservation of the Bible, the Holy Bible, in just a moment. But let's begin as we look in the last series of our study, Great Doctrines of the Bible itself. Now, the word Bible comes from the Greek word biblos, meaning book. It is a holy book written by a holy God. In short, the Bible is God's communication or revelation to man. Let's look at its contents. The Bible contains precisely the things that God wants man to know, in exactly the form in which He wants us to know them. It reveals God's plan and purpose for man. Its names. The volume of sacred scripture is also known as the Scriptures in John chapter 10, verse 35, the Oracles of God, Romans chapter 3, verse 2, the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Writings in John chapter 5, verse 47. Let's look at the Bible's composition. Well, the Bible is a library of 66 books written over a period of approximately 1,500 years and is divided into two main sections. The first one is the Old Testament, containing 39 books. Another word for testament is covenant. A covenant is an agreement, a promise between God and man. Basically, the Old Testament is a covenant between God and the nation of Israel, the Jews. Then the other main section the Bible is divided into is the New Testament, which contains 27 books. Essentially, the New Testament is the covenant between God and all mankind through Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, with a few exceptions of a few portions in Aramaic, was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek. Hebrew was and still is the language of the Jewish people, and Greek was a dominant language of New Testament times. God later preserved His word in the English language, the principal language of the last 500 years, through the King James Version. Now let's look at its importance. The Bible is the most important book ever written. It is the source book for all knowledge of God. You see, my dear friend, nothing needs to be added or taken away from the Bible. Bible teacher McGee said, "If God spoke out of heaven right now, He would just repeat Himself because He has said all that He wants to say to this generation." Let's look at the position of the Bible. For the believer, the Bible holds a position of highest regard and honor. Listen to what Job said in Job chapter 23, in verse 12. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 4, when he was tempted of the devil, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 17, where we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's prayer to the Father, the Lord's Prayer. In John 17, 17, Jesus prays to the Father and he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, my dear friend, the Holy Bible is the absolute and final authority in all matters of faith, which is beliefs, and practice, which is living. As the definitive standard of all truth, the Bible holds an exalted position even above the name of God himself. Look in Psalm 138. Psalm 138 with me, if you would. And when you get to Psalm 38, read with me verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast, here it is, magnified thy word above all thy name. Let's look a little bit at its authorship. The Bible is unique in that it has dual authorship. It was written by both human and divine instrumentality. Not only was the Bible written by 36 to 40 different authors, but in the Bible we read, God said, the Lord hath said, thus saith the Lord, over 2,500 times. God speaks to us, if we let him, not by visions and dreams, as in the Old Testament, but by his word, as it effectually works in us that believe. Let's look at its inspiration. The word inspiration comes from the word inspire, which has its roots in the words spirit and breath. To inspire means to infuse life by breathing on or into. You see, the Bible is not the result of man's godly ideas, but God himself in breathing men to record his thoughts. Psalm 33, verse 6. The Bible tells us, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. We read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Peter with me, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Then look with me, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We read, all Scripture is given. How is it given? By inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's look at the Bible's inerrancy. The word inerrancy is derived from the word inerrant, which simply means without error. There are absolutely no errors or contradictions in the Holy Bible. And again, I stress, when we say Holy Bible, we mean the Authorized Version, 1611 King James Bible. Amen. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. We read in Numbers, Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie. Then let's turn to the book of Psalms. First Psalm 33 with me. Psalm 33. Psalm 33 in verse number 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. And then Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Let's talk a little bit about the Bible's preservation, its preservation. Perhaps the most demonstrable and objective proof in favor for the validity of the Bible is that of preservation. First of all, the preservation of the Bible exhibits survival through time. See, the Bible, unlike any other book, was written over a period of 1,600 years in 60 generations. No other book in history has these characteristics. It is by far the most ancient of all books. Originally, it was written on material that perished quickly with time, such as papyrus, wax tablets, parchment, and vellum. For centuries before the invention of the printing press, the Bible had to be hand copied. These things, however, did not affect the style, existence, or correctness of the Bible. You see, my dear friend, God promised to preserve his word, and he did it. Look with me in Psalm 12. Psalm number 12 with me. In Psalm 12, we have God's promise to preserve his words. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. The words Notice that the words, not the message or the theme or the ideas, but the very words. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Let's look. We're still speaking about or discussing preservation. The second thing we want to see is survival through persecution. Now, the fact that the Bible has been viciously attacked proves it is more than just another religious book. In fact, throughout the centuries, many have tried to burn it, ban it, and outlaw it. Did you know it is even illegal to own a Bible in some foreign countries? Although we do not hear of Bible burnings, today, efforts are being made to outlaw it in the schools, the workplace, and eventually the homes. Even after the onslaught of persecution against the Bible, it still has more available manuscript evidence of antiquity than any 10 pieces of classical literature, such as Plato and Aristotle combined. There are more copies of the Bible in print than any other book on earth. In other words, there is more literal, physical, visible authority for the words of the Holy Bible than for any other book, ancient or modern, religious or secular. It has survived much persecution and remains indestructible. Look with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 24. Let's turn to Matthew 24 with me. Matthew chapter 24. Notice in Matthew 24 what we read in verse 35. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Let's talk about a little bit about the Bible's uniqueness. The unique design of the Bible is one of the best proofs for its divine inspiration. No other book in the world contains these exceptional supernatural distinctions. First of all, the Bible is unique in transforming lives. The fact that the lives of millions of people have been changed from the inside out by the reading the Word of God separates it from other so-called religious writings. You see, there is no way to explain how a person's language, like cursing, character, hobbies, musical taste, friendships, desires, motives, and thoughts can be completely transformed unless the Bible has truly been given by inspiration of God. We read in James chapter 1, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." And then turn to 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We see the uniqueness, or one of the uniqueness about the Bible is it transforms lives. The Bible can make a new creature out of anyone. It's also unique in history. Yet another justified defense in favor of the divine origin of the Bible is its historical influence. To this day, after 19 centuries of extensive archaeological excavating, no one has been able to prove one historical era in either testament. No other book has been so intensely studied and written about. Neither has any other book documented history from the beginning of time, is found in Genesis, to the end, is found in Revelation as the Bible. I want to read to you some notable sayings about the Bible. George Washington had this to say about the Bible. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. And of course, the Bible that George Washington had back then was the King James Bible, the same one you and I have today. Andrew Jackson had this to say about the Bible. That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests. Sir Isaac Newton said this about the Bible. There are more such marks of authenticity in the Bible than in any profane history. Immanuel Kant said about the Bible, the existence of the Bible as a book for the people is the greatest benefit which the human race has ever experienced. Every attempt to belittle it is a crime against humanity. And then Robert E. Lee, amen, a great Confederate General said this about the Bible. There are things in the old book which I may not be able to explain, but I fully accept it as the infallible Word of God and receive its teachings as inspired by the Holy Spirit. And of course, which Bible was he speaking about? The same good old AV 1611 King James Bible that we have today. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40 with me. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 8. We read, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We're still looking at the uniqueness of the Bible. Well, it's unique in science. We have seen that the scriptures record history in an accurate and precise manner. Did you know that the Bible is also a scientific textbook containing advanced scientific information? In the following examples, we shall see the Word of God is far ahead of modern science. You see, the number one, the Bible stated the earth was round in 700 B.C. Do you know what the leading scientists said for 15 centuries? They said that the earth was flat. Whoever wrote the Bible knew what the earth looked like from outer space. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 22, we read the scientific fact that the earth is round and not flat. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understand from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. You see that in verse 22? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The second thing, did the scientist of 1400, 1500, 1600 know the wind had circuits? Solomon, the wisest man ever, discussed it in 977 BC when he wrote Ecclesiastes. All aerologists and meteorologists know this now, but they are about 1900 years behind in their research. This is what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 6. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. Amen. So we're looking at the uniqueness of the Bible. We're seeing how it is unique in science, how it has many hundreds of years, amen, given scientific fact before it was discovered. Amen. If some of these scientists had only picked up the Word of God, they would have realized these very things. Well, we have much more to discuss about this great doctrine of the Bible, the Holy Bible, and we'll continue our discussion, my dear friend, next time on the Pastor's Study. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you who listened today, and for those who listen regularly to the Pastor's Study, I am honored. Please drop me a line at the address that will be given here at the end of the broadcast. But again, thank you for joining me, Brother Gino Cassieri, for the Pastor's Study today. My prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.